Welcome back to another episode of We Are Challenged. Liz and I are here to discuss the latest episode of MTV's The Challenge Battle of the X's. And while we didn't get an exit this week, it definitely was a very interesting episode. What did you think, Liz?
I would rate this. There have been a few really standout episodes this season that I think are kind of like 9 or 10 out of 10 in terms of reality TV, and this has to be up there with the top ones. It generated so much buzz on social media, on Twitter, and obviously because of the one incident, but also it was just a lot of good things in one episode, including the challenge. And Matt, they cut off the ending and they went to a to be continued. How did you feel about that?
Normally I'd be very upset over that. That tactic kind of annoys me, but in this case it felt like it was the only thing they could do with so much. They had so much they had to deal with.
Yeah.
That it made sense. And, you know, I had been looking back, and I think I'd kind of predicted this, that this was like this, there was good, they had to have one of these to be continued at some point.
Right.
And it just happened that it happened during a week where they needed to use it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. They didn't, you know, they obviously it does help for ratings where they're, you know, they cut it off, but I feel like they did it. They picked the right spot here.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll have to wait till next week to find out who's going into the dome and who goes home. Hopefully I kind of curious to see if we're going to get two domes next week or, because that may be tough to cram in all that action, but
that's true. I think it'll just be one.
I have a feeling it'll just be one too.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, let's get to the episode itself, because we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there's tons. Where do we even begin?
Well, I mean, we could begin with CT and Diem.
Yes.
And they're rekindling.
Yes, their reconciliation. Great moment. I got emotional watching it, and I thought it was pretty sincere. I mean, a lot of things on these shows can be a turn off because they seem a bit staged, but something about this it read pretty real to me. And it was just so nice to see CT kind of be relaxed and be genuine and make a genuine apology for some of the things that he said to DM and then her back, and finally discuss this issue, which has been coming up for a few seasons now. It's like an ongoing real world issue, is this whole
Siobhan.
Her not showing up to his funeral.
Yeah.
And they finally discussed it, and it was all on the table, and they both kind of apologized, and I really just loved it. I loved the moment after when they just kind of said, now let's kick ass. And then they did.
Yeah.
So, how did you feel about the scene?
No, I feel like it was, because, you know, whether people like CT and Diem as a couple or not, they've never been a showmance couple, in the sense that they didn't get together because of the show. They got together because they, you know, liked each other, and they stayed together for a while. So I don't feel like their relationship was ever fake. So of course any moments between them are going to be real, because these are people who did care about each other at one point, and you know, still do care about each other, but just maybe can't be together.
Right. You were saying to me at some point that you knew, you had information that CT and DM are not together at the moment.
Yeah, I had read that Cara Maria knew that he was dating somebody in Boston. Mm-hmm. And during the live tweeting that I was doing, I posted that CT should be the bachelor, which I still think is a great idea, except for the fact that apparently a couple of people retweeted me pointing out that he does have a girlfriend. So I apologize for trying to not trying to break him up per se, but for implying that he should look for something else. But yeah, it's a compliment. I think, you know, if CT was single, he'd be a great bachelor contestant.
He'd be a really, really great bachelor contestant.
I mean, definitely more interesting than this year's guy.
Yes.
That's a whole other podcast. I liked how they, you know, he apologized for what he did with Siobhan. She apologized for not showing up to his brother's funeral. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of cleared the water, and then they go on to win Race to the Altar, which was an interesting challenge. It was kind of like a wedding related obstacle course.
Yeah.
Where each team, where there's different stages, and at each stage, one team gets eliminated. Ty and Emily were eliminated first and have to go into the dome. And it came down to CT Diem versus Paula Dunbar at the end. And CT Diem crossed the finish line with Diem in CT's arms, and everyone's all booing and aahing and planning their wedding.
It was. I thought that this was, they got to have something like this. I think this was kind of like a made for TV challenge. Like it wasn't our usual fare for this show. It was just kind of like silliness. And although there were some components where they did have to exert themselves and they seemed kind of wiped, and it's never easy to eat that much food. And it looked painful, and especially if it's sweet, I could never do that.
I hate wedding cake. I've never liked wedding cake.
No.
And I like most sweet things. I just, I'm not a big wedding cake person, so that would have been tough, but.
Yeah. If you're like in a physical challenge and then you have to suddenly eat that much sweet food, like I can understand doing, maybe a challenge with a lot of meat or something like but this is so gross.
They did that before. I think they did that last year, right? With that was the part of the final challenge. We had to eat a bunch of meat.
Yes, they did. They had to go in a little like chalet and eat meat. Everyone succeeded in that part. People were puking, but
Johnny didn't do Johnny, so well, but Johnny and Camilla were like, that's just not our thing.
Yeah, they're like, well, that was a cute moment when you said that you now see our only downfall is that we can't eat cake. but then there was an interesting moment where Ty and Emily, they were the first out, I think.
Yes. Right?
Because, and they kind of implied that it, did you hear Ty say it wasn't fair, like the game? There was a little moment where he said, because they couldn't find the garter belt.
Yes, the garter belt was buried in sand.
Yeah.
And they're digging and can't find it. But, I mean,
they kind of implied it was rigged.
You know what? The problem is, it's like, it couldn't have been rigged because they actually chose which pile they dug in.
That's true.
And I remember Emily specifically saying, I guess we chose the wrong pile.
Right.
So Emily was just, you know, and it is a lot of luck. Like, that's just luck. Like, so, I mean, I would hope that all of the boxes are buried at the same depth. But the box itself wasn't that big. It looked like it was maybe, you know, a foot, like 12 inches by 6 inches. So if you're digging in an area of 4 feet by 4 feet, you could easily miss it if you're at the same, you know, so.
True.
You know, it's, you know, I've seen those challenges, that type of digging challenge on Survivor, and it's just a matter of getting lucky in a sense. Like, you know, obviously you can dig faster and stuff, but if you're digging the wrong area and you miss it by like a couple inches, you know, you're going to lose. And I don't think that they would have fixed it against those two.
I think though that there's a chance that there might've been one that just didn't have anything in it because.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Not to like go against one particular team, but just to eliminate someone right off the bat.
Yeah, to make it like so it's not like a
full like,
finish or something.
Exactly. But I mean, we can't really speculate on those. What else in that challenge was fun? It was fun to see Mark and Robin, even though they were bickering, they still kind of made it through a few of the more difficult ones. CT just like built a car. Like
Dunbar with his sand filled nuts.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, he got sand in the lug nuts, I believe, and that's what slowed him down and helped CT and DM win.
Once again, I want to point out that Dunbar is like a non-character.
You know what the funny thing is, though? He is a non-character in a lot of ways, but he has come up with a couple good quotes. He doesn't get much screen time, but I feel like when they do give it to him, he's coming up with some good lines.
Mm-hmm. But I have to stand by what I said. I think that the fact that he's not getting a lot of airtime, we don't sympathize with him at all.
No.
I think they're going to win.
No, I don't think so either.
You got to have like a little bit of you have to side with the winner in some way, and he's just not ever on. So I don't think Paula and Dunbar are the winners of this challenge. What else happened?
Well, I mean, CT got to carry DM across the finish line.
Yes, which was very cute.
And then everybody decides to plan their bachelorette and bachelor parties, where they go to the bar, and you know, there was kind of a fun scene where they're all, you know, hanging out and dancing. Paul and Ty are all over each other, professing their love. Well, at least Ty's professing his love for Paula. I'm not sure if she's
very weird that he's literally saying "I love you."
That's, yeah.
Come on, I cannot believe that she has a boyfriend and that she's doing this when it's so disrespectful. No.
Yes, I saw her apologize in the after show.
I watched that too.
And she was like, "I'm sorry for being a super skank." I mean, at least she acknowledges that she made a mistake.
But the thing is, Paula,
it's more than one mistake. That's the problem. It's not like a.
But it's also the way she apologizes for stuff like that. She's giggly. Like, it's just nothing phases her in that way. And I think, again, I've said it before, I think she's very insecure. And if somebody's going to profess their love to her, then she's going to take the bait, you know, and yeah. Go for it, because it's televised and she wants everyone to think that she's desirable. So, which makes Ty kind of an asshole, because he's just preying on somebody that he knows he can get. But what do you think about, this is another component to this whole show, was the possibility that that Emily is jealous of the relationship between Ty and Paula.
I don't think Emily's jealous. I think just Emily sees a lot of similarities in the way Ty courted her.
Yes.
And they did kind of, I feel like they showed some flashbacks of the two of them a bit. Yeah. And like, Ty was very intense when they were in Washington together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's just like, oh my God, this is just the way he is with everybody. And that might have upset her, because it's like,
it's true. You realize you're just
another girl.
Another girl.
And so maybe that upset her in that way, and that might have sparked, which is pretty much the most controversial part of the season so far.
Mm-hmm. But wait, before that controversial moment happened,
okay,
I want to just clarify. There was a scene where Ty said to Emily, "You're the most influential person in my life. I love you, blah, blah." That was in the beginning of the episode, no?
Or I do remember that, but it just, again, that's like, to me, it seemed insincere, so I kind of just...
That, yeah, that's what I wanted to add. I feel like he's just handing out "I love yous" all over town.
I mean, maybe he's just a very lovable guy.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, he kind of explained his "I love yous" a little bit, and it sounds like he maybe is using it as not necessarily a way to pick up girls, but as a way to express affection that maybe isn't quite love, but it's like, it's more than just "I like you." So he wants to say something more than "I like you," or "I have a crush on you." So it may be, it's, you know, I don't want to, we shouldn't throw Ty under the bus for being an emotional guy.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
Maybe he's just, this is, you know, maybe he is, you know, maybe it's like, you know, you love this person and you're not actually in love with them. Maybe he just, this is the way he expresses it. So I'll try to give him the benefit of the doubt.
We'll give him that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that we, should we go into that the moment? I think it's probably time.
Otherwise we're going to run out of time.
Yeah. So one of the, I would say maybe the most controversial, or I guess conversation producing moments of the challenge so far, and maybe of all of the challenges, because race is rarely implicated in fights. I don't remember a time that it was. That's not true.
It's come up, but it's usually been quickly dismissed.
It's come up in the real world.
Yes.
It's rarely an issue in challenges. So just to recap, of course, what happened is that Emily and Camilla were, everybody seemed to be drinking and having a good time. And it was after the Bachelorette, right?
Yes, it was after their party.
And so they came home, and Paula and Ty had been smooching all night. So I think Emily was just kind of being a dork, and she just wanted to kind of rile him up. So her and Camilla went into the bathroom and dressed up as Ty and Paula. And of course,
Camilla comes out in whiteface and upsets everyone. Oh, yes. Sorry. No,
yeah. So Emily put chocolate all over her face and she came out in blackface. So I was looking at your tweets and you were like yelling at Emily, no.
Yeah, I was just like, don't do it. Like, it's just, you see somebody like, it's like a slow motion. I almost felt like it was slow motion. You're just like, no. Like, because I could just see the ramifications. Like,
right.
I think we had talked earlier in the season. We had seen these previews where Ty was calling Emily racist. We're like, there's no way, you know? And we're just like, he must be drunk. It must be like, and then I see this and I'm like, oh, this is where it came from.
Yeah.
Ah, that's not good.
It was really awkward because they showed the faces of everybody around and they were just so, they didn't even know what to do with themselves. They were just staring.
Like Ty's first reaction was like, I have to say it was very calm. And he's just like, yeah, that's kind of racist.
Who said that? Johnny?
Ty said that. Like Ty just kind of like looks, he's like, I think he was cooking or something at the time.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And he's just kind of like making some food and he's like, looks over, he's like, yeah, that's kind of racist. He keeps kind of going because I think he's trying to, like, hold it in and not really, like...
Yeah.
He doesn't want to, like, you know, start screaming, but I have to say it was kind of funny just watching Ty being, like... You could just see him processing, like, I need to say something, but if I can't just, like, start screaming and going off the handle.
Yeah.
So I have to credit Ty for his managing to hold his anger and fairly well, considering this.
For a bit, and he didn't for long.
No, but he didn't... I wouldn't say he went over the top.
It's true. And he does have the ability to go over the top. He didn't, like, throw anything or...
No, he didn't pull a judgment. Okay.
Yeah. So, I guess the biggest question and everyone is kind of talking about, do you think Emily is an innocent... what is the word? An innocent party in these proceedings. Her argument is that she grew up in a cult.
Yes, which we've heard about before. That's not the first time.
Sheltered community, and she doesn't know the implications of doing that, and she didn't even know that it was a thing, and this is what she's saying. Do you forgive?
You know what? Here's my take on the whole situation. Ty forgave Emily.
Yeah.
He knows Emily way better than any of us do.
Mm-hmm.
He knows Emily way better than anyone that challenged us. If Ty can forgive Emily, I think that means that we should
all forgive.
We should not surely all forgive her, but at least we should give her the benefit of the doubt. I trust Ty's judgment in forgiving her. I feel like Ty probably knows her, you know, understand. Maybe he was upset, and rightfully so. And the minute he got to talk to her and hear her out, you know, I think he eventually kind of got to the point where he's just like, she made a mistake. She didn't realize it was as big a mistake as maybe, you know, she thought she was just kind of teasing Ty about the relationship. She didn't realize that the blackface was such a controversial, you know, thing. And I think I also tweeted, and a couple of people retweeted this, is how I started thinking. I'm like, yeah, but Billy Crystal just did that at the Oscars. And that's not saying, like, that actually upset me as well, that Billy Crystal did that. Nobody really talked to it. So it's...
That is weird.
It was that, you know, that kind of reminded me. But yeah, it's blackface is obviously something you shouldn't do. But she was drunk. You could argue that she was ignorant to the implications of it. And I don't think she knowingly did something racist. Like, it wasn't like she was doing this as like a racial attack on him so much as a... It was more of like an attack on his romantic techniques than on his race, I feel like.
Yeah, and I mean, I think... All right, should I give my take on it? I think what an idiot, like what a stupid move. But I shouldn't... I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I kind of feel bad for her now. I think it was, again, the stupidest thing to do, but I think it was an innocent... she was making fun of Paula and Ty, and as she said immediately, she never... When he got mad, she immediately thought he was mad because he was embarrassed about her being... making fun of Paul at him. She didn't even realize, it didn't click. when he was saying he was going to leave, she says that she just thought he was just mad at her making fun of them. I think I feel bad because she is now really kind of messed herself. It's something that stays forever, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a big deal in your life to be on TV and have something like that happen.
Yeah.
And she looks kind of like devastated about it. And I would be, I mean, I would never do it, but it's such a mark on your.
Yeah, no, it is tough to come back from that type of stuff. Like, look at, I mean, Mel Gibson obviously done it more than once, but Michael Richards, you know, other people who have, you know, crossed lines.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we should forgive those people or not, it's tough to say. I mean, Mel Gibson probably not. But
yeah.
it does kind of ostracize them from the rest of the public when people do make racist or homophobic comments.
And I think kind of one of Emily's things, like one of her character traits, is that she is really
inclusive.
Yeah, like she has never seemed like a snob.
No.
Ever. She seems really laid back and like she likes, and I mean, she dated Ty, so obviously it's not, we all know it wasn't a racial attack.
Yeah.
What it was really stupid.
I do have one, I think, you know, we probably should wrap this up because it has been talked to death a little bit, but you know, there was tweets by Leroy,
Tyree.
And the one thing I started thinking about after the fact is what would have happened had there been several other black contestants still in the contest. Like, Ty was the only black person in the house at the time. What if Leroy and, you know, Jasmine, Tyree, like, what if those teams were still there?
God, what would Jasmine have done?
Would that have just been a full-on explosion?
I think the reaction was, like, pure shock. So,
yeah.
I don't see anyone flying off the handle about something like that because it's so crazy.
Yeah, and you know, it may have not even happened. Like, it may have been where she started doing it and Jasmine just looked at him like, no, no, no. You know, yeah. Like,
and
so
just, like,
it may have
back into the room.
Yeah, Jasmine or, you know, one of the other, like, girls may have, you know, kind of, maybe somebody else, like Leroy, would have just taken her aside and wiped her face before she came out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it definitely would have been, it would have been pretty traumatic had, you know, this split. I mean, obviously, like, not just the other white members of the house and were not impressed. But had it been like, you know, it could have created like a racial divide where all the black, you know, there was like six black teams and six black members and the other ones, like, it could have, if this had happened earlier in the season, this could have really changed the dynamic of the season. But thankfully, cooler heads prevailed. Ty decided not to leave. I really liked about Ty staying was that he was encouraged to stay by his opponents.
That's true.
In other types of reality shows with a competition bent,
they would use that.
Yeah, yeah. They would have used that to get rid of him. But
no,
there is kind of a weird unity of all the people in the challenge.
Just going to say that.
You know, they're like, even though, you know, Johnny may hate Wes, Wes may hate Johnny and Kenny and all those other guys, there is kind of a weird brotherhood where they don't want somebody necessarily to leave for reasons other than getting eliminated.
It's true. No, I was actually going to bring that up when we were talking about the first challenge because they're just so happy.
Yeah.
Everyone was just, even though they lost, you know, they were just kind of laughing it off and everyone seems really supportive of each other, which is a bit weird.
It's a bit weird, but it's you know.
It's nice. It's nice.
You know, these people, like, they, you know, they probably hang out a lot outside the house, but that's obviously, you know.
I think we're at a point, and I mean, it changes the dynamic of the show, but we're at a point now where everyone would be happy for the other if they won, which is not always a good thing in these challenges because you want a little bit of rivalry.
Yeah.
But no one, I mean, there's like a kind of fake rivalry between Paula and Emily, but I don't think that really goes very far.
It's more of a fear on Paula's behalf rather than a rivalry.
I think it's something that the producers are really kind of like conjuring up, but
okay. So let's you know, I think we've
yeah, sorry,
let's go with, okay, because I am intrigued about the decision we didn't get to hear the answer about. CT and DM have to decide who goes against Paula and Ty. Before we get into like their discussions, right off the bat, you know, who would you put in if you're DM? You're in DM shoes. Who do you like tell CT to put in?
It's really difficult. Who would I? I'm not a big strategy person. I don't know.
Sorry, that was my phone.
I think I would go with Mark and Robin.
That does seem like oddly the safe pick in a weird way.
Yes, in a weird way. I mean,
it doesn't like it when you at first glance you're like, oh, you should either put Paul and Dunbar and keep Mark, Robin, and Johnny and Camilla on your side, or you should put, if you're gonna go for one of the two, you go for Johnny and Camilla, try to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
But oddly, the Mark Paula pick does seem like the safest because you're not. Yes, you're kind of pissing off Johnny and Camilla.
Yeah.
But you're also keeping Paula and Dunbar around, who have somewhat pledged their support to you because, you know, Paula and Dunbar, whether you like them or not like them, they're smart enough to realize that they're the outside team and they need to make deals. Yes. So they're willing to say to CT and DM, we're not going to put you up ever, you know?
So if we're both going Mark and Robin.
Yeah.
Let's say that. Who do you think is going to win?
I think Ty and Emily are going to win.
Against Mark and Robin?
Mark is a beast, but Robin's been, you know, a basket case at times, and I don't think she matches up well against Emily.
No, that's true. But I think Ty against Mark will be a hard...
Yeah, it depends. Obviously, it depends what sort of challenge. Yeah,
it depends what it is. I think that's so we agree on this prediction.
Yes.
What do we get if we're right?
We get a pat on the back from TJ.
Respect. okay, that's what we're going for. And what do you think, like, drama wise? Anything else that's gonna happen this season, or they're kind of done with that?
Well, I think there'll still be drama. There's gonna be drama when Paula or Ty leaves, because, you know, at one point, I mean, or they're gonna have to face each other.
Mm-hmm.
I
think the big thing that they've been previewing all season from the very beginning is this wind blown challenge. I'm excited to see that. It looks like people get really hurt. And we always like to see that. I think that's next week.
It's hard to tell, but I would think it's definitely next week. But I think we need to wrap things up because I know you have to get going.
Yes.
You know, if you have any of our viewers or listeners, I guess, have any emails for it, want to comments, it's wearechallenged@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the Twitter is @wearechallenged, all one word.
And I want to say hello to all our new followers. We're getting up there. We started at like zero.
Or two.
We have about 80 now, which
that's awesome.
Great. So I'm really happy that people are listening and tweeting at us, and we're getting some conversations going on Twitter. If you even comments about that after show, like, I wish we could kind of go into that, but it wasn't really that impressive. Nothing new came up. They were just kind of recapping the episode. This was a really good one, and I look forward to next week's episode a lot. I think it's going to be a good one. And for some reason, I want to give a shout out to Leroy, because we miss Leroy.
We do miss Leroy.
Okay, so we will wrap this up, but again, thanks for listening. And if you guys have any questions at all or anything you want us to talk about, feel free to email us or tweet at us. And we will see you next week.
See you next week.